Long enough, Jody. W2 JKT.
Hold.
We're HKX.
What?
One vehicle into another cold one.
Probably takes that truck a little while to get warm, doesn't it?
A minute or two.
Pickup has a electric heater in it that comes on while it's warming up, so the cabin can at least get something while the engine takes forever to get warm.
Electric seats and steering wheel, so that's good enough for me until it gets warm.
I don't have any of that on this truck. I guess they do put it on trucks nowadays.
I got as much luxury as one of them luxury cars nowadays.
Sure. You get to look at some of them, man. It's amazing what they can put in here.
Seats in my truck, but not the heated steering wheel. That would be kind of nice. The EV here has got heated everything, because it'll heat the seats and the steering wheel, and even the back seats have heaters. Having to run the heat as much, because that's really what sucks the battery down.
That way you're just heating what you need. If you only need the driver's seat warm, then you can just warm it.
Air temperature up as much, but because the cabin heater takes like it's anywhere between like 4 and 10 kilowatts, but the seat heaters are only a couple hundred watts apiece.
Don't have a heated steering wheel or a heated seat, none of that. But I can walk to the back of the truck and get warm because it's got a propane heater back there. Doesn't take it too long to warm up. I mean, it's already starting to move the needle in the temp gauge.
You know, give it a few minutes warm up there. When you get on the road, it probably warms it up pretty quick.
It does.
It's going to be here in just a little bit, fella, so I'm going to go ahead and sign off and say 7-3s to all y'all and enjoy your day, and I'm going to go get ready to go get cold again.
Hope you have a good day. Tell Miss Annette we said hello when you get to pick her up. And 7-3-KO4-HKX.
Be careful working under that truck and have a great day. This is W2JKT. It's going to be fun, Patrick. I had that dumpster delivered for our big clean out, and it's going to start pouring down rain on us this afternoon. We were hoping to get some crap out of the house this afternoon.
Well, I wish it wasn't going to rain this afternoon myself, but nothing I can do about it. And we've had enough for a little while. With all the rain we've had, just nowhere for it to go.
Our ground is so saturated. You know, when it rained the other day, it all just sat on top. And the front yard had, standing water in it. Backyard had standing water in it. And, flooded my shed and the whole bed. So hopefully we've given it some place to go in the last couple of days so it can run off this time.
So that way it doesn't flood on you again. I don't think we're supposed to get that much. And then tomorrow is supposed to be up around the house. Last time I looked, which I hadn't looked this morning, it's supposed to be nice but windy. So that'll help dry it out some.
Oh gosh, we've had so much water this spring, but hopefully it'll make for a good planting season. We're starting to get our stuff ready to go in the ground and get our seeds started. We're doing peppers and all kinds of stuff this year, and we're going to try to grow the three sisters this year, corn, beans, and like one other thing. I forget what the third one is, but it's the way that Native Americans used to do it. They'd plant corn and they'd plant beans that would climb up around the corn stalk, and then there was some third plant that they would do with it, and the three of them grew really well together. So we're going to try to plant, I think she wants to plant like 20 stalks of corn or something like that, so it should be pretty fun.
Stalks of corn and beans are wrapped around them. You're going to be busy.
I hope not. The internet says this is pretty self-sustaining and you don't have to do too much maintenance with it, but I guess we'll see. Hopefully it works really well.
I'm busy while it's growing. I'm busy when it's time to can it all and take care of it.
It's quite a bit of corn, and I don't know, we might just, you know, we're going to probably can some of it. You know, she has all of her canning stuff, and probably can some of it, eat a good bit of it, you know, maybe trade some of it. So, I don't know, we'll see how it works out. But I'm going to do weary peppers again this year and then try to do reapers again. And we're going to do our jalapenos and our, what was that other pepper we did last year? The Rito peppers again this year.
Peppers, are you planting them close together?
You know, 8 to 12 inches apart.
Pollinating.
With our weary peppers last year, you know, we had the little round peppers, but then after a while we started getting these longer peppers on the weary plant, and we think it might have cross-pollinated with the Ritos next door, but the peppers that it made that way were really, really good. I made some good vinegar hot sauce out of them, so, you know, if they cross-pollinate, we'll just get some interesting things.
They will, and like you say, it does come up with some interesting things. Planted cucumbers and squash together a couple years ago, and that was interesting. Didn't think about it at the time, cross-pollinating just slipped my mind. I'm growing up on a farm with my grandfather, and I make for some interesting cucumbers and squash.
I mean, they're related anyway. I think they're in the same family, but yeah, I bet a squash crossed with a cucumber is probably an interesting thing.
Need really big cucumbers that were yellow.
Have to try that this year to see what we get, because we grew cucumbers last year, and our cucumber plant went nuts, and it gave us like 10 cucumbers a week or something crazy like that. But yeah, crossing that with squash might be fun, just to see what, I see the look on Courtney's face when she gets these giant yellow cucumbers.
Let's see, like I said, and they didn't taste bad or nothing like that, it just was different.
Ended it, right? Stuff, you know, cross-pollinates and increases genetic diversity, and that's how things survive. You know, the monocrops are a terrible thing for long-term sustainability. I think I was reading somewhere that, like, the common banana that we know of is in a lot of danger because, you know, it's the only variety of banana that anybody grows, and it's, you know, it never cross-pollinates and it never changes. And now all these diseases are catching up with it, and they have this one disease down in South America or something that's wiping out all of the banana crops.
I'll have to do some research on it, because, man, I love some good bananas.
That's the Cavendish variety that we all are familiar with. But, yeah, since it has not been allowed to evolve, because they just clone the plants and the trees to keep them all the same. And so, you know, the diseases have adapted to be able to, you know, attack it and get around all the you know, the germicide. Yeah, some issues with that, for sure.
We're assigned to leave nature alone and let it do its thing.
Plant varieties of crops so you don't get these highly concentrated things. You know, I went to a seminar at Clemson, you know, maybe 10 years ago, where they were talking about this, where, you know, we've given up on rotating crops in favor of using chemical fertilizers all the time. And so now we have all these diseases that are attacking all of our common food crops, like corn and beans and stuff like that, because it's always the same. You know, and, you know, if you're a corn farmer, you have to buy your seeds every year now because they've genetically engineered the corn not to reproduce on its own. So they sell you seeds every year that are genetically identical. And so all the bugs and the diseases and everything can adapt and eventually take it over.
That wasn't an issue when we were growing, but because we grew a lot of corn, but we did rotate it around. We'd let the fields rest, sections of it rest, in different years, and then we'd plant other crops on it, beans, cabbage, potatoes, okra, whatever. So, because we had 12-acre farm, but we'd always leased land, too, so we'd move it around.
You know, agriculture's always been done because we learn things, but, you know, now it's just all chemical fertilizers and pesticides and stuff, and, you know, how much yield can we get out of these crops every year and, you know, never ever change them, so, I don't know. We're watching this series on Netflix called You Are What You Eat, And I highly recommend it. It exposes a lot of this, these issues we have with our food supply chain.
Check that one out.
The show itself is a case study on, they take these sets of identical twins and they put one of them on a regular diet and one of them on a plant-based diet, and they study how it changes their body chemistry and metabolism and stuff like that. And since they're identical twins, you know, it's like starting from a common baseline. But while they're doing this, they talk about other things, other issues we have in the way we grow our food and the way we eat and things like that. It's really, really good. I highly recommend it.
We are what we eat. Okay, well, I'll check that out. Might watch some of it this weekend.
Yeah. Check it out. Yeah, we've watched the first 3 episodes now, I think. And in the 3rd episode, they start talking about factory farming, you know, factory livestock farming and stuff, and you know, some of the issues it causes with food there. And kind of alarming. Like, we actually decided to go back on our plant-based diet from last night after watching that episode. So just be aware, there's some horrifying things in it.
I definitely understand that. But we, like I said, grew up on a farm, so we harvest our own livestock at times.
You know, a small farm with some livestock, but, you know, when you start getting into these, they call them a CAFO, like a confined animal feeding operation or something like that, or confined area feeding operation, you know, they have these incredibly high densities of animals, and they pump antibiotics into them all the time, and, you know, they're all sick and diseased and everything. It's pretty awful.
I've often thought about all the antibiotics, hormones, and things that's in the meat that we eat.
It's all the bacteria and stuff, but yeah, it's a good show. It's a good show. I'll not spoil any more of it for you, but yeah, just suffice it to say, it'll open your eyes on a lot of things.
I'll probably enjoy watching it. The wife, not so much.
Yeah, beacon went off.
I said I'll probably enjoy watching it, but the wife, not so much.
It's actually a really, really good show. I mean, they do have all that kind of shock value. You know, this is what they do to animals in these places. But the study itself, when they're following, you know, the effects of the two diets, it's really interesting.
That's really what I would like to see, is that right there for sure.
That's my firsthand experience, that a plant-based diet is really good. I mean, I did it for about 4 months last year, and it was actually pretty fantastic. I felt better, and I had more energy, and, you know, without, you know, I mean, of course, I was eating a pretty enormous volume of meat before I did that, so I don't know if it was just the more plants or just the less meat or both, but yeah, I can say for sure that, you know, a plant-based diet is a good thing.
Got a lot to do with individuals. You know, what a plant base may be great for you, but it may not be great for me. You may need a combination or less of one or the other.
We're all different, and you know, it might be what's best for you is a little different, but you know, for me, you know, I definitely love to eat meat, you know, and every once in a while I'm going to want to have a steak, you know, but you know, if I just keep it to vegetables most of the time, I actually do pretty well.
I'd say that I am a meat eater. Not that I don't like my vegetables, but I like my meat.
I'm right there with you. I mean, you know, I love a good steak, a good burger, you know, all that stuff. But I also like, you know, being able to sleep and have more energy and stuff. Anyway, yeah, check it out. Let me know what you think. I'm getting down here where it's getting hard to hear the repeaters. So I'll say 73 with you today, Patrick, and hope you have a good weekend. And we'll catch up a little bit next week. KO4HKX, this is WTJKT.
I hope you are able to get some production done on dismantling the kitchen. Stay safe. 73 KO4HKX. Mobile and monitoring.